Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Had a few people suggest this story to me, including Tim. And it's one of these stories that, I mean, it's an interesting story, but there's going to be some dispute about the severity of the problem these people are complaining about. That's where it's going to turn into a rub. A total nightmare. Men sue Montreal dealership over a white Lamborghini they said turned yellow. Again, a total nightmare. Boston Bosch wrote the story for CTV News out of Montreal, and this crossed the newswire not too long ago. A Montreal man and his son are suing a luxury dealership for more than $400,000 Canadian dollars, claiming a white Lamborghini that they bought turned yellow shortly after the sale. So they bought it white, it turned yellow. According to the lawsuit filed in Quebec Superior Court earlier this month, Caligero Caruso of Montreal's St. Leonard Borough bought the 2017 Lamborghini for his son, Gasparino. And they bought that from Lamborghini Montreal in July of 2017. So you'll notice that's 2.5 years ago. Purchase price about $350,000, again, I'm guessing, Canadian. Now, you might notice that that number is substantially lower than the amount they're suing for, which is $416,000, but we'll get to that. The suit claims that Caligero remortgaged his house in order to buy the Lamborghini for his son, saying it was his dream to own such a luxury vehicle. Instead, it has been a total nightmare. That is a quote, apparently, from the lawsuit itself. And Bassem Basher, who wrote the story for CTV, wrote, note, none of the claims has yet been tested in court. I'm not sure how you test the claim. It's been a total nightmare. But that's what courts are for. The plaintiffs claim the problem developed just days after they took possession of the car. They noticed it had started to turn yellow. The Carusos say the dealership's boss told them the car was indeed white, but can look a little yellow in the sun. They say they gave the dealer the benefit of the doubt and parked the car indoors, but noticed that it continued turning yellow. The suit alleges that this argument between the buyers and the dealers lasted for months, with the plaintiffs refusing the dealership's offer to have the car repainted, which the Carusos maintain would drastically reduce the residual value of the car. But that brings us back to the question, why is the car fading in color? If it's a factory paint job and it's fading in color, it's one thing, but has it already been repainted? I'm curious. The Carusos returned the car to the dealership in August of 2018, a little over a year after they bought it, and they've continued to pay the mortgage that they took out to pay for the car, as well as the insurance and registration costs, all while the dealer has refused to refund the purchase price, a situation the suit calls simply unacceptable. And again, that's after saying this is a total nightmare. The plaintiffs are seeking the cost of the vehicle, which is $366,662.21 Canadian, and $50,000 in damages for stress and inconvenience and loss of workdays. Now, I cannot speak to Canadian law. I won't even attempt to do it. And ironically, I had many students at my classes at the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law in Detroit, who were Canadian, who were doing a joint program with the university out of Canada, and were planning on then going back into Canada and practicing law there. I don't know if any of them watch my channel, but I do not stay in close contact with any of them, or I just haven't. But the interesting thing is that much of the law that is in Canada, the substantial law, like the sales of goods and so on, a lot of that mirrors what we have here, although we have the UCC, but the UCC is modeled off of a lot of common law concepts and so on. But the idea that there's a problem here, if this had happened in America, yeah, it's a problem. You buy a car and the car paint is changing colors inappropriately. But the first question I ask of you is, what warranties do you have? Because they bought the car, and it's a 2017, and they bought it in July of 2017. There's no mention here of, say, if they bought it new or used. If you buy a brand new car, it might have a warranty that covers paint. But on the other hand, I've never seen a warranty that covers paint color changing. I've seen warranties cover finish, but, you know, the paint pops off or rusts through or perforates, things like that. But I've never actually encountered a case with a brand new car where the paint was changing color, okay? So the question is, if this is a problem from the factory, are they suing the dealership correctly, or should they be suing the factory, the manufacturer? And so, you know, if my Ford Explorer that I bought, which is a metallic reddish color, if I walked out this morning and it was brown, You know, obviously, I take it back to the dealership and say, guys, fix it under warranty. And I would understand that fixing it might involve painting it, because that's how you fix paint. But the interesting thing, and I have not seen the lawsuit here, is you have to actually argue causes of action. What laws do you allege are broken or violated by the other side that entitle you to relief? And I often talk on this show about things like breach of warranty or the Lemon Law or the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act and so on. And so the question is, in a hypothetical situation, you go to a car dealership and you buy a car that is white. The car is white. You take the car home, you wake up the next morning, and it's a different color. And let's just say it's not even a matter of degrees. It's green, okay? It's a repulsive shade of green instead of white. Now, the question is, how do you couch that? Is it a breach of warrant? Is it a breach of warranty? Is it a breach of contract? What is it? Because did you contract for a white car? Well, interestingly enough, you might have. I've seen purchase agreements say you're buying a car, and it describes the car and actually gives the color. You can say that the purchase agreement is part of the contract, and the contract contains an element that is a warranty. The same way the VIN, the same way that the make and model are, the same way the year of manufacture is. If it says it's a 2017 and you take it home and find it's a 2015, that's a breach of warranty, believe it or not. A lot of attorneys don't understand that, but it's true. So if the contract says white car and you take it home and it changes to non-white, that could be a breach of warranty. Okay, but the question then becomes, what's your remedy for a breach of warranty? And your remedy for a breach of warranty is one of two things. And what the first thing you look at is, can it be fixed? Can it be cured? And you have to let the warrantor the opportunity to cure. If you give them the opportunity to cure and they cure it, then you got no complaints. That's what a warranty is for. And you don't have the right in most settings to demand something in perfect condition, because warranties are designed to fix problems that occur to you and you go, oh, I didn't spot that before, but there it is. That's a problem you promised to fix if it popped up. Give it back to them, they fix it, boom, you're good to go. It happens all day long. So what is odd about this case is the unusual nature of the defect, which is the changing color, and the high cost of the product. But interestingly enough, there's nothing in the law that says, oh, the law changes the moment something costs $100,000 or something costs $250,000. It doesn't change. The law is the same. I've had people come to my office and describe something to me involving a car, brand new car that, you know, like a shopping cart, basically, you know, whatever the least expensive car is that you could buy 25 years ago. And it's just, you know, it's like pocket change now. Okay. And the same law applies to that as applies to a $300,000 or $400,000 supercar. The same laws apply. It's a product. It's a good under the UCC. Now, in Canada, again, the laws might be different. But my point simply is this. You have to look at this and go, what is the cause of action? You bought the car, it changed colors. Okay? Could be a breach of warranty. So you have to look at what the cause of action is and then what the remedies are. And interestingly enough, in America, if you could actually get a jury or a court to say, yes, they must take the car back because it didn't stay white, okay, then you get your money back. And in America, you don't even get the lost wages and the inconvenience and the other stuff these people say they're looking for. They say they're looking for loss of work. You wouldn't get that in America unless you could prove somehow that you were planning on somehow making money with that car, except, of course, that means it's a commercial purchase, and that probably puts it in an even different, harder arena to fight over and get money damages for. So my concern here is not that these guys don't have a case, okay? They bought the white Lamborghini. I've seen Lamborghinis in white. It's not my favorite color in a Lamborghini. But I suspect that the yellow it's turning is not the cool yellow. I don't have it behind me. But my Dodge Charger in high school was cool. It was a cool yellow car. And I like bright yellow on some cars. So if it was turning, if it turned into that color, obviously. But that's not what's happening. I'm sure it's a gross yellowish, whitish, you know, mixture. So do they have something to complain about? Probably. The question I have is, like I said, is it brand new? Complain to the factory. If it's used, you got to start looking at whether you have a warranty or not. But again, Canada, rules might be different. So what can I tell you? But like I said, whether or not it is a total nightmare, that's where I think I, you know, a little bit. So, but I empathize with the guys who bought the car and it changed colors. By the way, I have to thank people who sent me the shirt. It's an Elvis shirt. And I've mentioned before that if you can see, in fact, I'll stand up, make sure you can see it. But of course, Elvis is singing. And the reason I want you to notice that is I've mentioned before that that is the same microphone as that microphone right there. That's a Shure microphone. And I've mentioned before, people ask me about the microphones all the time, and I mentioned I used to work in radio. And people say, are those broadcast microphones? I say, no, they're not. This is a broadcast microphone, but those are all just for display purposes. I like microphones. But I often tell people that among the famous microphones, people also like the... I was turning the wrong way, sorry. The Lollipop. That's another popular microphone. A lot of CB guys used that back in the old days and ham radio operators. But I tell people that one of my favorite microphones to look at, just the way it looks, is that microphone. And it was used by a lot of singers. I've seen them in radio broadcast studios back in the old days. But I got it just because it looks cool. And the king sang with it. So there you go. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.